Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited to have Lori Seitz with me. Thank you so much for joining me today on this episode. So tell us a little bit about you, what it is that you do, and kind of what got you into that.
Yeah, my pleasure to be here, Kat. Thank you. I am on a mission to teach the world to be calm and grounded no matter what's going on around them. It sounds like a tall order, but, and it is, there are lots of people who could use that. So yes. I'm excited to get to reach them all and bring them into my sphere. Yeah. How I got started on this. Wow. That is such a big question, but going really all the way back, my mom took my brother and me to a meditation course when I was 10 years old. That's now known as the Silva method. And so we learned all this great stuff. And then, you know, I became a preteen and a teenager and I didn't use any of it. Why would I do that? And then even into adulthood, I still didn't use it. It was great to have it as a foundation. Like it was somewhere in the subconscious percolating. But like I would meditate for like a day or two and then I'd skip a few years. And it wasn't until after my mom passed, which I was just talking to somebody the other day and I'm like, man, it's coming up on 9 years already. Like, again, time just freaking flies. But that kind of tossed me back into practicing regularly and getting into consistently meditating and then seeing the results from it. Like I always knew that it helps with focus and emotional regulation and EQ, emotional intelligence, you know? So helps you respond instead of react. It increases the serotonin and dopamine and all the good feel good chemicals, like all the science and research and stuff behind meditation. And we can get into that too. So like, I knew all that. I just wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
And then once I started doing it consistently, I started seeing the benefits.
Yeah. And meditation I think is, and I was just kind of the same way. Like when I first kind of learned about it, I was like, oh my God, like this is ridiculous. Why am I sitting on the floor humming? Like, right. You see all the things online, right. Everybody's just like so peaceful. And it's interesting because I actually saw a clip that someone was talking about meditation not too long ago. And they were saying that a lot of people get meditation confused and they think that it's supposed to be to keep the mind silent. And really what it's supposed to be able to do is allow the thoughts to flow without stopping them so that the brain can get quiet after it's gone through that period. Where when I first started trying meditation, I'm like, shut up. The brain just would not shut off. And they'd be like, I gotta go feed my kids and I need to go this. And it was so frustrating. I just quit, right? There was no point in doing it. So speaking of meditation, what would you suggest for people that are trying to get into it or want to get into it because they understand the benefits? What would be the ways to kind of work into starting to figure that out?
I'm so glad you brought up the thoughts running through your head because I am constantly talking about the myths and misconceptions around what meditation really is. And so many people believe, like you did, that it's sitting quietly on a cross-legged on a mat for hours at a time in complete silence with no thoughts running through your head. And then people are like, well, I can't meditate, but I'm not good at it. Can't shut the thoughts off. And like you said, that is part of the process. No one can completely clear their mind of all their thoughts. And that's not what meditation is. Mm-hmm. It's about allowing those thoughts to come and seeing them and going, oh, there's a thought. and not necessarily getting carried away by it. Or yes, if you do get carried away by it, recognizing, oh, I've been carried away, let me come back. And this is why I so often recommend that, especially beginning people who are just beginning a meditation practice, use guided meditations, because then you can bring yourself back to the voice of the meditation teacher, or back to the music, or simply back to your breathing. Focus, oh, thoughts are carrying me, oh, let me come back to my breathing, and then focus on breathing in and breathing out and being very conscious of that. And so, so there's so many things around meditation. A lot of times people can't sit still. Like, even if they're listening to a guided meditation, which, by the way, is not cheating. People are like, well, isn't that cheating? No, it's not cheating. What is meditation? It's about getting quiet enough, holding a space for yourself to get quiet enough to actually hear some of the thoughts, not the daily thoughts like, yeah, I have to go feed my kids, but what is that inner voice telling you? That voice that only you can hear, because we're so bombarded by social media, traditional media, family, friends, colleagues, everybody has something to say to you about how you should be living your life. And when you get quiet enough to hear your own inner voice, now you hear your soul speaking to you and you know what the right path is for you. A lot of people don't like to do that because what they hear doesn't sound right. Like, wait a minute, that sounds scary, or that goes against conventional wisdom, or like, I don't want to hear that. Like, you know, like, everybody knows there's something maybe that they've been procrastinating about, or something that they don't want to admit or hear.
Yes.
But your soul knows that that's the right thing for you, but you don't want to, because it's scary. It's uncomfortable. It's sounds impractical.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what meditation allows you to do, is to quiet, not just quiet your mind, but what you're doing is you're quieting all of the systems in your body. Like, just tamping down that stress overload, overwhelm feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I feel like it's a way to bring us into the present moment, because I do feel like, because we have all these bombardments and social media and people and kids and all the crap going on, you know, what I talk about with a lot of my clients and on the podcast is, we get so stuck in a habitual way of doing life that we don't even realize what it is we're doing. Like, you know, I ask people, I'm like, have you ever washed the dishes and been having a conversation, and then you're like, I didn't even realize I was still washing dishes, right? Because it's so habitual. Your brain has done it for so long. It just does it automatic. Same thing when people are tired and they drive home and they get home and they're like, how in the hell did I just get here? Right.
Yeah.
It's because that habitual piece takes over. But what is kind of sad, in my personal opinion, is we live our daily lives like that. And so there's no present moment. And then our bodies get to a point where they have been used up so much and they're so exhausted that we get sick.
Right.
Or we can't get out of bed, or we are sleeping like crap because the body is just like, I can't, I cannot anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And the meditation is a bit of a recharge for the body, the mind, the spirit, everything.
Yeah.
Just can get reset and recharged. And we, as a society, do not allow ourselves that. I was about to call it a luxury. It's not even a luxury. This is real self-care. Self-care is not, it may be, you know, getting a massage, getting manicure, whatever it is. Yes, that's part of self-care, but that's not really self-care. This is self-care, caring for your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because even when people use like massages or getting your nails done or anything like that as self-care, what do? We time block for it. We get it done and we go right back into the rest of our day. Well, you didn't do anything, right? And I guarantee you, in the process of whatever it is that you were trying to relax at, you were constantly thinking of all the things you needed to do anything anyway, right?
Right.
So like, even when I started doing that, because I do enjoy a massage, it's nice. I make sure that if I am scheduled for a massage, I don't have anything else the rest of the day. Like I don't have meetings with people. If I want to do some stuff in my business that sounds fun to me, right? I can, but I leave that space open so that when I come out of that, I really have taken the time to enjoy it and relax and then reap the benefits and then congratulate myself for taking that time. And I leave that space open afterwards so that I do have that self-care piece to it versus just rushing into something else, because it just, it wears off within a split second.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, talk about time blocking. A lot of times people ask me when the best time to meditate is, and there isn't a best time. I liken it to like, I used to run a lot, and people would, what are the best running shoes? The ones that fit you. Like not yeah. every brand. I could say, you know, I wear Asics, but that's not necessarily going to fit your foot. You find what works for you. Mm-hmm. Personally, I like doing a meditation in the morning before I get out of bed, before I get started in my day. So it helps me set my intention for the day, set who I'd like to be. Not, you know, we focus so much on what we need to get done.
Yeah.
As opposed to who am I being today? Who would I like to be? What characteristics mm-hmm. would I like to display? And getting started in that way. And now that I've been doing it for so long, I love the analogy of it feels like if I don't do it, if I miss a day, it's like leaving the house without brushing my teeth. You're like, wait a minute, something's not right here.
I love that. And I think that it's also setting an intention, right? That we forget to do too, when we're like rushing around and we're running into this thing and running into that thing and whatever the case may be, or this meeting. And a lot of times we carry over whatever emotion or feeling or crap that we were dealing with, we carry it into the next thing. Where if you could take 5 minutes to just set that intention to give yourself that space, mm-hmm. you can, it's a reset so that you go into it in the correct manner. I've done it myself in between meetings and stuff where I know I've had a busy day and I've got back-to-back people to talk to. And I'm like, I have 10 minutes before the next call and I will go get one piece of sage and set it on fire and just sit. And I just focus on smells are a thing for me. I'm a person of smells. I don't know what it is with smells, but that's, I am that person. So smells calm me down. That's how I can focus. That's what I pay attention to. And I can use that just for 3 to 5 minutes and then get back up. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just brought up such a great point of 3 to 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be an hour. 3 to 5 minutes could be plenty of time to just calm everything down. I love that you use scents, and even not being a scent, a person who reacts. Like I have essential oils I keep around at my desk that just, they physically, I mean, again, there's science and research behind how that stuff works. You know, peppermint yeah. is great for enlivening or awakening. You know, if you're feeling a little bit tired, smell some peppermint and it will, or mm-hmm. citrus. Yeah, they definitely affect your mood and your being.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because if you can pay attention to what kind of things affect you, like yes. for me, it's smell. And for me, it's touch, right? For other people, it's visualizing. If you could learn that and then integrate that into that 3 to 5 minutes of meditation or taking a break, it does have the same effect, and it actually helps kind of enhance it. And it also gives you something to focus on. Cause I know for me, like my brain is usually going in 10 mm-hmm. different directions and all the stuff. But when I hit that smell, or like if I have beads in my hand and I'm sitting there with my eyes closed, my brain immediately goes, oh, what's this? Right. Yeah. Like, because yeah. I know that that's what catches my attention, and that's what deters me from paying attention to everything else. I catch myself doing it when I'm outside. If I go in the forest, I'm like touching the trees and the leaves. Like I yeah. am that person. Right. But that's awesome. I realize that that's what does that for me. So I make sure that I have smells around, or bracelets or beads or something, so that I can change the focus of where I'm at and focus on that specific moment.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I love that. So tell me a little bit more about what it is that you do. Because one, I love the name of your company.
Zen Rabbit.
And I love what you have been really working on teaching people, especially in the entrepreneurial world. Like you and I had talked about before, you had taken a sabbatical, and people understanding how you can do that and still run a business instead of just being busy all the time, like we were just talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually am out to stop using that word busy because, and I still catch myself sometimes, but you know, when you look at the highest performing business leaders in the world, the majority of them, one, practice meditation, which is an interesting thing. So, which begs the question of then why isn't every single business person who would like to be successful or more successful using meditation?
Yeah.
And two, they don't use the word busy. Their schedules may be full. They are not busy.
Yeah.
Busy to me implies you're running around doing stuff. Are you actually accomplishing important things? Are you doing things that matter?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So I work with high performing business leaders and teach them those tools and techniques for staying calm and grounded, no matter what's going on around them, because that lets them radically improve their profitability, their energy, their happiness, which is to me, the ultimate goal in life is to live joyfully. When you have success, and success is again, a personal definition, but when you have success and happiness, when you are living joyfully, you are also successful. You are healthy. You are, your relationships are good. You feel good. You're moving through the world with purpose. All of that comes under being joyful. And so ultimately it comes down to the people I work best with are, they have a strong drive to be productive. And oftentimes they don't feel accomplished enough by the end of the day. So they find it hard to sleep because they're feeling dissatisfied. Like they did a lot. But they always feel like they weren't productive enough. And that was me for a long time too. And which is part of, which leads into the whole sabbatical thing. Like I was doing all the things and not seeing the results that I would have liked to see in order to be in my definition of success. So my response for that was, I'm not seeing the success I'd like to see. So I need to do more. I need to do more of these things that aren't working. Because maybe if I do them more, then they will work, right? That's like insanity. But I was doing all the things. I wasn't getting the results I'd like, and I wasn't having fun. And I finally reached a point after several conversations where I, with some people, I said, well, this doesn't even make any sense. Like, I'm not even having fun. So what would happen if I just stopped? Stop doing all the things because it's not getting me what I would like to have anyway.
Yeah.
So what if I just completely stopped? What would happen? And I did. I walked away for an entire month. I took a sabbatical, month-long sabbatical road trip with my 19-year-old cat. And we just took off and went and visited some friends and went to the beach and a month off. And the interesting thing, Kat, was that I was not working, and two of the biggest business deals that have ever come across my computer plate, life, whatever, they showed up while I was literally sitting on the beach.
Wow.
Because that's what happens when you allow things to flow into your life instead of pushing so hard, especially as Americans, we're always talking about making things happen.
Yes.
I'm going to make this happen.
Yes.
Let's not confuse taking time off and allowing ease and flow and things to show up with not taking action. We still need to take action, but we're doing it with intent and we're doing it in a different, it feels different. It's not, doesn't feel like pushing a rock up a hill.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that that is, gosh, that is such a societal norm to just stay busy or make it happen. Or you hear the take control of your life. Yeah. And is so confusing for so many people, because then when they do, they can't figure out why things push back so hard. And yeah. It's funny, because I was just having a conversation with another person, and we were just talking about this, about sometimes you just have to let go so that the opportunities can come to you, because you've been pushing and trying and going in one direction so hard that you're actually pushing your opportunities further out that door.
Right.
Because you want control of it so bad, so bad.
Right. We are actually then strangling it. Like, I want it so bad. Yeah. I'm just gonna, you know.
Yes.
Strangle it, the life out of it. And that's really, yeah. That's actually what's happening. The life is yeah. being strangled out of it and out of you. This is why, like you said, we've been so conditioned since birth. To one, believe that hard work leads to success.
Yes.
And that is such a freaking lie. I'm finally, after all these years of life, realizing what a big fat fucking lie that is.
Yeah.
It is not true, but we've all been conditioned to believe it's true. And you see the 24/7 hustle, and you have to work hard, and you can't, nothing's going to just come to you. Well, we're not saying sit on the couch, do nothing. Still take action, but take action in the direction that feels inspired. Like, oh, this looks interesting. Let me take a look at what that is. But again, this making things happen, the only thing we have control over is the actions that we take and the way we take those actions. Like, we have no control over the outcomes, but we think we do. Like, this is where I'm going to make it happen. You're not going to make it happen. You're going to do some things, and then there's going to be a result. But, you know, working 17 hours a day doesn't make it happen any faster.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And a lot of the times we get into the entrepreneurial space because we want that time and freedom, yet we do the opposite to ourselves. Like, I was just talking to someone the other day, and they were like, I would so rather work 80 hours for myself than 40 hours for someone else. And I was like, oh God, that's horrible. I get it. You're putting work into yourself. So I understand what the metaphor behind that is supposed to be, but what you are telling your brain is, I'm totally willing to overwork myself more than I have ever done before if it means I'm working for myself. And that's not the way that it's supposed to be, nor is it the way that any entrepreneur that I've ever spoke with is looking for. That most of us are looking for that freedom of time, that freedom for us to be able to enjoy life instead of continually being on that busy train.
Yeah, exactly. And that is when you are working like that, you never give yourself time to recharge. So while I was on this sabbatical, I had a conversation and I came to create, well, that was the start. When I got back, I started creating this program called Living the Sabbatical Life, which does not require people to take a month or a year off from life to get into living the sabbatical life. But the sabbatical life, the overall purpose of it, or what's the word I'm looking for? Like the theory behind it is giving yourself time to recharge every single day. So you're not working 17 hours a day. Maybe you're working 5 hours a day, but you are much more productive and focused during that time because you have allowed yourself to recharge. If you think about your phone battery, you let it wear down and it's on low battery mode at whatever, 20%, I think mine is.
Yeah.
And you plug it in and it charges back up to 50%, and then you unplug it and start using it again. It's never fully recharged.
Yep.
So you never, and we do the same thing to ourselves. We work, and then fall into bed, wake up the next morning and do it again, but we're never fully recharged. So when you come back the next day, you're not fully focused. You're not as productive as you could be if you had taken time off the day before to go recharge. And when I talk about recharge, that doesn't necessarily mean sitting in front of the TV. TV is relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily recharging.
Yes.
And so when you're talking about going out in nature and walking or sitting in meditation or spending time with friends and laughing. That mm-hmm. is recharging.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting that you say that too, because so many people that I have talked with that specifically work in the corporate world, right? Like, they're great at what they do and they don't necessarily mind it. And then when I ask them, like, you know, what do you do like on your time off? What do you enjoy doing? Right. And they're like, oh, it's video games or reading fantasy books. Okay, everybody, don't get up in arms. I'm not telling you not to do that. But what I have found out is most of the people that I talk to, the reason why they do those things is to escape reality because they are so overworked.
Right.
Versus using something that could help recharge you and make you feel more you and whole, they're constantly looking for an escape. I'm not saying that that's, right. you know, for everybody, but the majority of people that I have spoke with that do that on like a constant basis, like several hours when they come home, it's because they are literally trying to escape the life that they don't want to be in.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And they're too tired to do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. That yeah. they're not recharging. They just completely unplugged.
Yes. Which doesn't help you either at all.
There,
yeah.
Again, there's no, we're not saying don't read and watch TV. Like those are all good things. That is not recharging. So there needs to be another element mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah. Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And so typically the people who are most, who push against that the most need it the most.
Ooh. That makes sense. I remember being one of those people. I can't say much. So tell me then if you are having a conversation with someone that needs to be in this space or is, let's say, is open to being in this space, right? Because you can tell this to everybody, but they have to be in the right mindset. So if yeah. someone comes to you and they're like, you know, I'm looking to be more calm and grounded, what would you say is some of the key components or things that you can give them to kind of get them started on that journey?
Ah, love that question. Thank you for asking that. Number one is coming back to gratitude. Where are you finding gratitude in your life? And I don't mean, are you writing down three things in a gratitude journal every night? Because sure, that's a good practice, but often it becomes just another thing on the to-do list to do. And you're okay. like, yeah, I can't go to sleep till I write my gratitudes. No, but genuinely finding gratitude for things in your life. So I love this exercise that I share with people. And it's called the "but I'm grateful for" exercise. So when you catch yourself complaining or criticizing, again, we're human, it's going to happen. You can't mm-hmm. turn it off 100%. When you find yourself complaining or criticizing, give me something. I know you had something that happened earlier today.
Oh gosh, my schedule went AWOL.
Right.
It backed up everything.
Right. But I'm grateful for what?
The ability to have conversations with people to let them know what's going on and them to be accepting of that.
Yeah. So every time, for the people who are listening, every time you catch yourself complaining or criticizing, add on to that, but I'm grateful for. And it doesn't even have to be related to the thing you're complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my schedule is all crazy, but I'm grateful I have some warm tea to drink, like whatever it is, just getting yourself to see the gratitude, see what you have in your life to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
And you will then, what you're doing is becoming a more naturally grateful person. You're not going to eliminate all the complaining and criticizing, but you will do it less and you will catch yourself more.
Yeah.
And turn it to gratitude. So that's one thing. Is recognizing where the gratitude is in your life. And there's always something, even when you think there is not, I have nothing in my life to be grateful for, you reach out to me and I will help you find it.
I love that. And I think too, and this is something that I kind of recently have been working with, is you also have to internalize it, right? So you can't just say it and like roll your eyes while you're saying it. That doesn't work. Like you really need to feel it. You need to be able to smile about it when you say it. And it's interesting because like when I was in sales years ago, one of the things that they said is when you're on the phone and you're talking to someone, you have to smile, right? Mm-hmm. Because they can hear it through the phone. I'm like, that's absolutely crazy, but it makes sense, right? And it's the same thing, but it changes your mood. It changes your posture, changes the ways that your voice projects over the phone when you're talking to someone, right? And so in my opinion, it's the same way when you're doing the gratitude as well. That's why gratitude journals kind of work for some people, but you have to have that feeling behind it. Because if you're just writing it down, like you said, it becomes another chore. But if you're like, you know what, like, so glad it was sunny today. Like, I'm so glad I got to feel that. I'm so glad I got to do, you really have to feel into that moment. You have to be able to smile, not just make it a thought.
100%. That is true. The feeling behind it is more important than the actual thing. Because when you're changing your state. Tony Robbins talks about this a lot, whether you're a fan or not, but changing your state. And when you are feeling it, you are changing your energy. So we can get really woo-woo here and we won't, but we are energetic beings. Energy is what drives this entire universe. Mm-hmm. And when you are feeling gratitude is one of the highest energetic vibrations you can step into. Gratitude and love. When you are feeling that gratitude, you're vibrating at a higher level. And that's when you start attracting more good stuff to you. There is science and research behind this. This is not just like some fluffy, crazy, like, oh, they're talking energy and vibrations. Look it up. There are the energy and science behind this.
Yeah.
This is what you're doing when you're feeling that gratitude. You're changing your state. You're making yourself more magnetic, literally more magnetic for good stuff to come in.
Yeah, 100%. I tell my kids that all the time. I'm like, negativity breeds negativity. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful because it does. Everybody has down days and I totally get that. And I've been through that a lot, but it is finding those small things to be grateful for or be proud of, or you can celebrate to help just shift that spot that you might be stuck in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Celebrate is my word for this year.
Yay!
Because the more you celebrate, and you know, I'm guilty of it just like a lot of my clients, because we're high performers, we're high achievers, and you accomplish something that could be a great thing to celebrate. And you go, yeah, I did that. Moving on to the next thing. And you never stop to take a moment to celebrate. Yep. When you celebrate, though, again, more things to celebrate show up in your life.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, and I have to remember to do that myself, too. Just like you were saying, where, you know, good things happen, or like I got a couple of people that appeared on my calendar. I'm like, I don't have a clue who you people are, but I found in the comment section that they found me on somebody else's podcast and they had found me on someone else's show. And I'm like, but I had to take a moment for that. Cause I'm like, all the work that I've been doing, like, look, people are starting to see it. People are starting to hear it. And I make sure that, I tell a person that is supportive in my life, which for me is my husband, bless his heart. He gets to hear everything. But if you can find a supportive person in your life that is just like, go for it, go you, whatever the case may be, whether it's someone that you're close to, someone that you met online that you have a connection with, like send it, let people know, talk about it, put it out there. Don't just like celebrate it in your head and be done with it.
Yeah. And that's why I like starting all of my calls with clients. Of what's your win for today or what's your win for this week. That's how we start all of our programs. And
oh, each I love day that.
Because it doesn't even matter how small a win you think it is. Celebrate everything.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I have had a blast talking with you, Lori. I love your energy. I love what you're teaching people. This is so up my alley. So one thing that I always ask everybody is, do you have a quote or a piece of advice or something that you could give to the audience that could help them in some way?
I think I just did about celebrating every celebrate everything.
Yeah.
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 That's 100% where I'm going with this today. celebrate everything.
Yeah. I love that. And that is a very big reminder that everybody needs to do, even if it's sitting down in the evening before you go to bed and you go back through your day, it needs to be celebrated. Like you said, no matter how small. So thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Tell everybody, where can they find you? How can they connect with you? How can they follow you?
Yeah. Well, we were talking about living the sabbatical life. So I actually have a guide called 5 Easy Ways to Start Living a Sabbatical Life. It's available for free and it's on my website at zenrabbit.com. So the best place to find me and find links to all my socials and everything is zenrabbit.com.
Awesome. Perfect. Oh, I love it. Ooh, I'm going to go look at it. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode today. I like I said, I absolutely adore you. So thank you so much for being a part of it. And to everyone out there, I hope you got some amazing takeaways and really start learning to focus on being more grateful and paying attention to the small things. I talk about this all the time. And to everybody that is out there, please make sure you do one positive thing for someone each and every day to see the difference that it can make in your life. So until next time, everyone have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.